We'll be reading one of the most familiar accounts in Scripture this evening from Luke chapter 15. It's the chapter of lost things, and we're reading verses 11 through 32, the lost son. It's such a familiar story that it's easy for it to lose its impact when we read it. And so, as I read, try to think of some of the different things in here. First of all, the contrasts that Jesus introduces. There's the father contrasted to his sons, the younger brother set against the older brother, and then Jesus uses words like lost and found and dead and alive. Look for those contrasts. And also to maybe get some of the power of the story back, in your imagination, try to enter into the story. And imagine your senses in the story. Imagine what it felt like when the son came back and his father put his arms around him and hugged him and kissed him. You can imagine the smell of the pig pen or the taste of the food that he was eating there with the pigs. You can, in your imagination, see the expressions on their faces. The father's face, when his son told him he wanted his inheritance, and the older brother's face when he found out his younger brother had come home. And in your imagination, try to listen to the tone of their voices as they're speaking to each other. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he, answering, said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. All who are able, let's kneel together in prayer.
Again, this evening, we count it a privilege to serve among you, to share God's word with you, and I trust also to share God's heart with you this evening. Tonight, we're going to be looking at the parable of the prodigal son from the Gospel of Luke. It's a message that I've entitled, Lost and Found. While some of the parables that Jesus told are recorded in multiple gospel accounts, this parable is recorded in Luke only. This parable and the context in which it is set is one of the best known and most loved passages in the Bible, as Brother Jeff referenced this evening. I believe the purpose of this parable was to teach the Lord's disciples of his concern for all people. Every human being is a soul created in the image of God. But I believe it also points out the fact that one day, every human soul will stand before God and be held accountable. Jesus told this parable in response to the complaint from some of the scribes and Pharisees that he was too friendly and compassionate toward tax collectors and sinners. They said, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." They could not understand his compassion toward those who did wrong. The Pharisees had a knowledge of the Old Testament. They had a knowledge of the law and professed a desire for personal purity, yet they had no love for others. They had no love for lost souls. It's interesting that because the Pharisees criticized those that they considered to be sinners and kept their distance from them, they ultimately repelled sinners, whereas Jesus attracted them. And it's interesting the dialogue that goes on prior to the passage that was read. And I'd like to, at this point, read the first 10 verses of this passage. Also introduces us to some of the other things that Jesus said were lost. And I believe gives us a little bit more insight into this passage. I'll begin reading with verse 1 of Luke 15. "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Lost sinners came to Jesus not because he catered to them or compromised his message, but because he cared for them. He understood them and reached out to them. Therefore, they were drawn to him. And Jesus, when he was being criticized, said, "They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Jesus often referred to sinners as being lost and in need of a Savior. On one occasion, Jesus said that he had come to seek and to save that which was lost. To illustrate what it means to be lost, Jesus told a series of three parables here in this chapter: the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. All three parables present the truth that the angels in heaven rejoice when a person comes to faith in Christ. This is the common theme throughout these passages, throughout these parables. This chapter makes it clear that there is one message of salvation. God welcomes and forgives repentant sinners. But these parables also reveal two aspects to salvation. First, there is God's part, illustrated in the first two parables. The shepherd seeks the lost sheep, and the woman searches for the lost coin. But then there's man's part, and that's illustrated in the third parable, where the son willingly repented and returned home. Both the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man is expressed in these parables as we think of salvation and all that it entails. I believe we must not emphasize one over the other, or else we get an unbalanced view of salvation. We want to look at the details of the prodigal son a little later. But first, I want to give us more of an overview of the entire chapter and learn what it means to be lost. It's interesting that there were actually four things that were lost in this passage. First, there was the sheep that got lost. It got lost because of heedlessness. This sheep was no worse than the other sheep. It had a sheep's nature, and a sheep's nature is to wander. It was just out looking for green grass and gradually drifted too far away to hear the shepherd's call. Then the darkness fell, and the sheep could not find his way back to the shepherd. The shepherd had to leave the fold and go in search of the one that was lost and bring it back to the fold. Then the Bible says that the shepherd called together his friends and his neighbors to rejoice with him because he had found the sheep that was lost. Many people today get lost the same way. Busy with the pressing affairs of life, they gradually drift away from God. They drift away from the church and God's people. Then in the darkness of some tragic situation or difficulty in life, they discover that they are all alone, and they recognize how far away from God they have strayed. Then Jesus said, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." The second thing that was lost was a coin. There was a woman who had 10 silver coins, and she suddenly realized that one was missing. These were perhaps given to her as part of her dowry when she got married. This would have given them value beyond what they were worth as currency. They held sentimental value as well. This coin was lost through idleness. It had some buying power, but it was not being used on a regular basis and went missing because the woman was not keeping track of it. I believe this coin represents service to God. The coin was lost, and it still maintained its value as currency, but it was useless because it was not where someone could use it. Upon realizing that it was missing, the woman lit a lamp, swept the house thoroughly in an effort to find it because it was valuable to her. Likewise, there is a God in heaven who comes to look for us when we lose touch with him through idleness and do not serve him as we ought. Then Jesus said again, "Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth." The third thing that was lost was a father's son. This younger son was lost through willfulness. He became dissatisfied with life at home and decided to go out on his own. He thought only of the present and lived to please himself. In an attempt to exercise his freedom, he became a slave to sin and slave to a strange man in a distant land. He became lost through willfulness. The fourth thing that was lost was the prodigal son's elder brother. This diligent and conscientious young man stayed at home, worked hard, and yet he was still lost. He became lost through pride and haughtiness. Caring only for himself, he was no better than his younger brother. He was satisfied with himself, had no love for his brother, and could not understand the love that his father had for his brother. It has been said that if the prodigal son had met his brother before he saw his father, he might have returned to the pig pen. You know, this is a serious question for all of us to consider this evening. How does my attitude and lifestyle affect others? Do I attract other people to Jesus Christ, or do I drive them away, much like the Pharisees? The underlying theme of all three parables is the rejoicing that takes place in heaven when a person trusts in Christ. And when someone comes to the place where they recognize their sinfulness and develop an attitude of repentance. We want to look now at the parable of the prodigal son in more detail. The primary focus of this parable is the compassion and love of the father. And I believe this parable could more accurately be called the parable of the loving father rather than the prodigal son. The father's love for his son becomes apparent and can be more greatly appreciated when it is put alongside the behavior of the son. This evening, as we look at this parable in detail, I want to point out three experiences of this younger son. And they're the three main points of the message tonight. The first point we want to notice is that he went to the far country. Here is a son who went to his father and asked for his inheritance prematurely. According to Jewish law, the eldest son received a double portion of inheritance. And a father could distribute his wealth during his lifetime if he desired. So it was legal for this son to ask his father for his portion of the inheritance. But I believe most of us would understand that it was not a very respectful or loving thing to do. In fact, most of us, I believe, would classify it as being very disrespectful. It was about as disrespectful as saying, "I wish you were dead." But according to the story, and again, it's a made-up story, a parable that Jesus told to illustrate a point. And many of the details, I believe, were put in here for a specific reason. And according to this parable, the father granted this request without question, without hesitation. Perhaps he may have had to liquidate some of his assets so that he could give this son his portion of the inheritance, which would have amounted to 1/3 of his estate. From our vantage point, we may question the wisdom of the father in granting such a request. But the parable does not make allowance for that objection. The son seemingly was dissatisfied with the way things were at home. But I believe we would understand this evening that he failed to recognize how good he had it at this point in his life. He outright rebelled against his father and took what his father had given him and headed for the far country. I'm sure it broke his father's heart, and that his father was sad to see him go. But the story doesn't have that bias. It pictures God, who has given us a free will to do as we please. A father who gives us opportunity to do as we desire, hoping that we will choose to love and serve him. The account tells us that this young man went into the far country and there wasted his substance with what the Bible describes as riotous living. Here's where we get the word prodigal. The word prodigal means wasteful. The picture here is that he wasted his money on things that do not satisfy. He spent the money that his father had given him for his own selfish purposes. And I'm sure most of us have some pictures in our mind of what he might have spent his money on. One of the pictures I have in my mind is that he did everything that his father had taught him was wrong to do. But here in the far country, he was free to do as he pleased. He did not have to listen to the advice of his father or his mother or even his own conscience. He could do as he pleased. The riotous living that the Bible describes, I believe, probably included, which the Bible kind of hints at, I'm sure it included wine and women and ungodly living of every sort. And no doubt these things were part of this young man's demise. The things that appeal to our sinful desires and fleshly nature would have been what he engaged in, I'm sure. The same things that appeal to us, our fleshly nature, is what this young man found himself involved in. And so the far country is not necessarily a place where we must travel. It can also be a condition of our heart. The younger son dreamed of enjoying his freedom far from home, away from his father and older brother. And apparently he lived it up for a while. But life in the far country did not turn out to be all that he was expecting it to be. His money soon ran out. And when that happened, his friends deserted him. Worst of all, a famine came to that land, and he was forced to do for a stranger what he had been unwilling to do for his father, and that is go to work. This part of the story was Jesus' way of describing the consequences of sin. Sin promises freedom, but it brings enslavement. It promises success, but it brings failure. It promises life, but the Bible says the wages of sin is death. It was a desperate situation that this young man found himself in. He who had left home with so much and had lived such a high lifestyle for a while found himself now desperate even to survive. The only job he could find was tending pigs. This was a detail that Jesus used, I'm sure, to point out how desperate this young man was. In the Jewish context, tending pigs was a job that would be avoided at all costs, considering the fact that pigs were unclean animals. But Jesus used this detail to describe how low this young man had allowed himself to go because he failed to see the goodness of his father when he was at home. And so first tonight we notice that this young man went to the far country. But secondly tonight we want to notice that he came to himself. In verse 17 of our text, it says, "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger.'" This time when this young man came to himself marked a point in his life when he began to think more in line with reality. He began to show a repentant attitude. He came to a point where he was willing to admit that he was a sinner and that he had made a mistake. He began to realize how foolish he had been. He also realized how desperate a situation he was in. He recognized he was not going to survive unless he went back to his father. Where he was, no one gave him anything. There was a famine. No one had anything to give. But he knew that his father's servants had plenty to eat, and he began to think, you know, there's something wrong with this picture. When my father's servants have plenty to eat, and here I am, starving. He knew that his father was a generous man, and he recognized that service to his father at home was better than freedom that he had chosen in the far country. The Bible says that the goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. This young man, in his painful situation, was able to see his father in a new way. He recognized that his only hope was to return to his father. And the way the story is told here, I believe Jesus is pointing to the fact that there is nothing we can do to save ourselves. There's nothing anyone else can do to help us be saved. It's only as we return to our Father. And I believe this point is vividly illustrated in this parable. He realized his only hope was to return to his Father. And his hope was that since he was so good to his servants, that maybe, just maybe, he would be able to forgive, or he would be willing to forgive his son. In a spirit of true repentance, this young man made up his mind that he would go back to his father. He experienced what the scripture describes as a sorrow of a godly sort, a sorrow that leads to repentance. And we see here in this parable that he began to follow through on the thoughts of his mind and the intentions and the admission of his heart. He said, I will arise and go to my father. But not only did he make up his mind to go, he also began to rehearse what he would say to his father. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. That is an attitude of true repentance. Recognizing that he had done foolishly, he would tell his father that he had sinned and ask that whatever he was willing to give, he was willing to accept, even if it meant becoming a hired servant. Anything was better than starving to death in a land where he was all alone. This is one of the best pictures we have in the scriptures of what true repentance looks like. No reservation, complete surrender to whatever the Father was willing to give. And I believe Jesus told the story this way for a reason. This story was designed to demonstrate what God is looking for in the hearts of those who trust Jesus Christ by faith. And so after the prodigal son had had his fling at life, after he had tried all and spent all and lost all, he was on his way home to his father. This brings me to the third point in the message this evening. In this prodigal son's experience, he came to his father. First he went to the far country, then he came to himself, and then he came to his father. It makes us wonder what might have gone through his mind as he went. The guilt, the shame, the despair, But I wonder also if there must not have been a sense of urgency. After he had repented in his mind there in the pig pen, I believe there must have been a sense of urgency to get home and to carry out the acts of repentance. Perhaps he had the feeling that he couldn't wait to get home where he belonged. Perhaps he wondered if he did belong. And at this point in the story, the perspective changes from that of the son to that of the father. All this time, while the son had been having this life-changing experience, the father had been waiting for the day when his son would return. We don't know the details. And this evening I may be embellishing the story just a little bit, but I believe I am preserving the true heart of God as he looks for a son to return. We don't know the details in this parable. Jesus doesn't tell us much. But it's a made-up story. And we are made to imagine that the father scanned the horizon many times. As he walked his fields every day and watched his servants hard at work, perhaps several times an hour, he would look toward the horizon just in case his son had decided to return home that day. Perhaps when he would stop to wipe the sweat from his brow, before he put his handkerchief back into his pocket, he would look down the road one more time, just in case he might catch a glimpse of his son. At home each evening, perhaps he would look out the window one last time before dark. On this particular day, the father caught sight of someone coming just over the horizon. His hopes were immediately up, but then he remembered that he had often been disappointed before. But as the stranger inched closer, the father recognized the familiar gait of his son. This was the day he had been waiting for. He shrieked in delight and began to run toward the figure coming toward him. His son was coming home. The text says, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. It was at this point that we see the father lavish his love upon the son. He had loved his son the whole time, but now the son was coming home and he could show it. The prodigal son, I'm sure, was perhaps unsure how his father would respond. And he was likely surprised when his father came running toward him. After this initial shock of such a lavish reception, it did not take him long to begin to recite his repentant speech. But his father didn't let him finish. His father began to call out orders to his servants. Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. What a lavish display of love the father had for his son, in spite of his rebellious and disgraceful behavior. A robe for his body, a ring for his finger, and shoes for his feet. These were just three different ways of saying, you are my son. You are my son. You are my son. It was only the members of the household who wore shoes. The servants went barefooted. The ring was not an ornament, but a sign of sonship. The robe was proof of his acceptance back into the family. What a celebration that must have been. A son who did not care to be a son recognized the full blessing of what it meant to be the son of such a gracious father. You know, it's interesting tonight as we think about this, as we think about this parable. Everything the younger son had hoped to find in the far country, he experienced back home. Clothes, jewelry, friends, joyful celebration, love, acceptance, and confidence in the future. What made the difference? I believe it was the attitude of his heart. Instead of saying, "Father, give me," he said, "Father, make me." He was willing to be a servant, but the Father made him his rightful son. He was lost, but now he was found. What a picture this story is of how God the Father relates to the human race. He wants us to serve him as his sons and daughters, but he lets us choose how we will live our lives. He lets us do foolish things without hindering us. He lets us to our own devices. But this story also pictures God standing ready to forgive us as sinners who recognize their need of a Savior. It pictures God in his grace running out to meet us when we repent, and he welcomes us into his family. He lavishly showers his love upon us and fills our lives with good things, all of which we do not deserve. He makes us a part of his family as his sons and his daughters and gives us a spiritual inheritance as joint heirs with Christ. The change he makes in our lives is as if we were dead, but now we are alive. The way Jesus told it, we were lost, but now we are found. We also want to look at the elder brother just briefly here in closing. The elder brother could not understand why so much fuss and commotion was made over his brother who had wastefully spent his earthly inheritance. The scripture tells us that the elder brother was angry and would not go in and participate in the celebration. He would not welcome his younger brother home. And I believe this part of the story, this elder brother, perhaps sometimes reflects our hearts when we see God being good to someone else, forgiving someone when they mess up in life, make terrible mistakes. You know, we are so quick to be self-righteous and judgmental. But I believe this parable is a mirror in which we are able to see ourselves. Are we the elder brother? Or are we the younger brother? The one who recognizes the goodness of his father and repents and seeks his forgiveness. Tonight we want to sing a hymn of invitation and give you opportunity to respond to the message tonight and to the leading of the Spirit. Hopefully all of us can see ourselves in this prodigal son tonight. We either were or still are a prodigal son or daughter tonight. Each one of us must ask ourselves a question: which one am I tonight? If you are still a prodigal tonight, I would challenge you to consider yielding your heart and life to God in surrender through faith in Jesus Christ. What number should we sing as a hymn of invitation this evening? 294 in the Black Brother Hymnal.